To you, the confirmation class, and to you, the family members and loved ones of these very special young lady and gentlemen, and to you, the congregational members, those here in presence and those throughout the country online, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Very special day. First of all, thank you, six, for last night. I'm impressed. Pastor Dan and I both said we don't have to worry about if we happen to not show up on any particular Sunday. We'll just call one of you guys, come on up and do the preaching. Good job. It's rewarding in this culture that was said last night, too, how things have changed so dramatically on what is valuable, what's important, and how we make our decisions, that you six, you got it figured out. You got it figured out. Now, of course, the big question is, are you going to do it? Are you going to live it? Because you're getting pressures. But that's part of why you're here this morning, to make public before God and your loved ones here what a gracious God you have, and that your intention to hold fast to that faith. So God's grace, mercy, and peace be to all of us. You remember S&H green stamps? Let's see your hands. Yeah. Nobody in the front row raised their hands. They don't get that. Well, they were one of the early retail loyalty programs. That, I think, we all know in our culture today. Well, the stamps, they were distributed as part of a rewards program operated by Spurrier & Hutchison Company, S&H, during the 1960s. And the company issued more stamps than the United States Postal Service. More. Distributed 35 million catalogs that the customers received that they could look at and pick items. They received stamps at the checkout counter of supermarkets. That's the little picture. Those little green things, those are actual physical stamps for those kids who are looking at and going, well, so what's the big deal? Well, you'd get a stamp for each point or each dollar or cent, whatever it happened to be. It was department stores and supermarkets and gas stations, among other retailers. So as shoppers accumulated all these stamps, they mounted them in collector's books. Remember those? Provided free by S&H. And one activity that was common for green stamp families, like mine was, and I suspect many of you, I know so because you've been telling me about what you got out of your stamp things, was to gather together at the table and fix those stamps in books. Lick and stick. And then when you had your books full, each book contained 24 pages, I know, I counted them, you took them to the redemption center and picked out your treasure for free. Give them stamps, you get something. It was great. I actually got, and this is true, a .22 caliber single shot rifle. It was seven books. That was for myself growing up in Miami, Florida. My brothers and sisters, they got stuff too. So it was a big deal back then. I love those green stamps. Everything was free, 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 if you had enough stamps. Well, S&H Stamps had several competitors during those years. Several of you told me beforehand, you remember one of the local ones here. What was that? Gold Bond? Who was that? Kurt Carlson. Remember him? And then there was the Piggly Wiggly stores. Remember what their stamps were? Greenbacks stamps. I don't know that one, but that was one. And then A&P supermarkets, they offered Plaid stamps. And then Blue Chip stamps, I don't know who gave those out. Believe it or not, green stamps are still around today. I didn't know that. I found on a website you can get a card nowadays that you present to the sales clerk and they stamp your points to it. And it just isn't quite the same, is it? There's something about that lick and stick that's part of our history. Why all this talk about green stamps today, you say? Well, because in Lutheran circles we are celebrating what we call Reformation Sunday. You don't see the connection, do you? Well, stick with me a bit while I explain. Oh, I thought that was pretty good. Well, the Reformation is all about receiving free stuff, even if it's not a loyalty program where you get stuff by collecting stamps, but rather Reformation is reminding us about receiving spiritual stuff, eternal stuff, stuff from God, not the grocery store. You see, hundreds of years ago, back in the 1500s, around the time of Christopher Columbus, 1492, creation of the Gutenberg printing press, the church was pretty messed up. It was teaching all kinds of strange and weird stuff about God and heaven and hell. And several folks had had enough and started to raise questions about all the contradictions and half-truths and outright lies being taught by the church at that time. And one of the best known of the questioners was a fellow named Martin Luther. Not Martin Luther King Jr., but Martin Luther. And he was a German religious monk, a college professor, a priest. And on October 31st, 1517, he posted a list of 95 complaints on the community bulletin board. It wasn't electronic back then. There wasn't the social media, but the social media of the day was the church door, the front door of the local church. That was the bulletin board, and that's where you posted your thoughts of the town, in the town. On the way in, if you haven't noticed, on the way out, you can look on our doors out in the parking lot. There is the list, a copy of the 95 statements, the 95 theses, the 95 complaints. You want to read it, but let the people out before you spend too much time in front of it. But that whole posting, it set off a chain reaction throughout Europe and the rest of the world. And the issue became this, and here we pull it together a bit. Is God's stuff free? Or do you have to cash in green stamps, so to speak, to get the good stuff? Well, here's Luther's conclusion, which was contradictory to the formal official position of the church at that time. And it came as a result of his research of the Bible. He concluded from what his studies found was that there is no green stamps necessary to get God's good stuff, including heaven itself. Heaven was totally free. Now, that position, we go, yeah, ho-hum, we just sang about it and read about it. But that position rocked the establishment boat and made him and those of like mind unwelcome, even considered as enemy of the church. Now, Luther didn't just pull this out of thin air. He based his conclusion on what he found in his research of the Bible. He found that all of mankind, according to what the Bible had to say, was necessary. To the Bible had a problem, it points out, that could not be fixed by ourselves or by cashing in some green stamps to acquire that fix. Trade them in, get God's good favor. No. Luther read these words, Romans 3:23. The wages of sin is death. And that problem that we have is sin. Sin's a word that means missing the mark of absolute perfection. That's what it means. Because we're talking absolute perfection, not close, not sometimes, not maybe. But unless you're absolutely perfect, you got a serious problem. Missing the mark, sinning, had some horrible consequence. The most obvious, initially one, was death itself, physically. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. Ouch. But in addition to that physical stuff, sin disqualifies a person from entering heaven and relegates the sinner to a spot in hell to boot. Ouch. That's pretty scary stuff, and I'm not talking Halloween scary. Well, these discoveries by Luther and other researchers clashed with the official positions of the formal church. So as a result, two diametrically opposed positions were being taught as fact by both sides. So, which is right? And someone sort of green stamp program their way into heaven by cashing in the things that they've accumulated and done to keep us from dying and getting to heaven? Well, actually, there's some truth on both positions. Ezekiel 18:4 tells us this, the soul that sins, and that's talking, it's all inclusive, the soul that sins will die, not maybe, they will die. So where there is sin, there also must be a death to punish that sin. Whether you like it or not, those are the ground rules. Well, there's no getting around that fact. Sin will result in death, but, and it's a big but, and here's probably the very best discovery that Martin Luther found during his research. Even though there's nothing an individual human being can do to cover the cost of sin, death, and its consequences on our own, which was the position of the church back then, that someone else could step in and assume the punishment of death, in the human's place. That was the thing that Luther found. Wow, that ought to get our attention. And it did back then. And the best news of all that Luther discovered is that God did just that on mankind's behalf. He, God himself, stepped up to the plate and assumed the punishment mankind deserved. He did it through his son, Jesus. Think of it this way. You're standing before a judge who's about to pass sentence on you, and he reads the charges against you. The judge says, you know, you've broken every single one of these laws, every one of them, and you're going to pay the consequences. He pronounces the verdict. He says, I find you guilty, guilty on all accounts, and the wages of sin, you're going not only to prison, you're going to be executed. What do you do? You wilt. What do? You wilt. So the guards start to come in, and when suddenly a man steps from the audience and he says, I'll take the prisoner's place. Judge thinks a moment, says, okay, very well. Guards, seize this substitute. Take him away. So the guard grabs the man and begins beating him without mercy. They drag him away, bruised and bloody, to the gallows where he's put to death. The judge turns to you and says, your debt has been paid. You can go free. Well, these discoveries by Luther and other researchers clashed with those official positions. And the results were, there was conflict that was going on. And the judge does say, very well, sees him, he's bruised, he's put to death, and then he turns back to you. And he said, by the way, you are free to go now. You see, my friends, that's exactly what Jesus did for you. He offered his perfect life in place of your sinful one. He offered his innocence in place of your guilt. He offered his death in place of your death. You're free to go. Incredible. Well, as this substitute for you is being dragged off, a list of all the good things that this guy did is handed to the judge. He looks it over and turns to you and says, by the way, these good things this fellow did, they are now credited to you. Even if you didn't do them, they're credited as if you did them. And so the judge looks at you again and says, ah, you are now declared to be a model citizen. Not only are you now innocent, but you are now perfect in the eyes of the law. This is what the Reformation was all about. The church back then had become sidetracked from a variety of, and for a variety of reasons, and sadly missed up and understood the central core message of what God had graciously done for mankind. Namely, forgiven the debt owed for sin and declaring us holy and righteous in his sight. Incredible. Now, before we kind of shake our heads with righteous sense of superiority and smirking smile on our faces, we have to kind of put ourselves in the shoes of those folks back then, 500 years ago. They were merely following the current teachings and green stamp beliefs about having to do things, to provide things, to get God's good stuff. That's what they had learned from their dads and moms, from grandmas and grandpas, uncles and aunts. That's what they learned from the government officials. That's what they learned from the church leaders. It's all they knew their entire life. Remember, very few folks back then could read or write, even if they could get their hands on a book, which was highly unlikely for most folks. So they couldn't check things out for themselves, even if they wanted to. It took folks like Martin Luther and the other folks in that time period to find out what the truth about God and heaven was really all about. So, for someone back then to hear and then accept what they'd been taught all their lives was wrong would be hard to swallow. We don't change easily, do we? They didn't back then, and we don't either. Some folks bought into this new understanding. And others, they wanted to cling to their childhood beliefs. Well, that ease of slipping into wrong thinking, still a problem today, isn't it? We today can and are actually, sad to say, getting sidetracked in the church as a whole by doing all kinds of things within the organized church on secondary matters. We get sidetracked by social issues or political issues or community connections and end up setting aside the central focus and purpose of the church. namely the work of Jesus on the cross. We lose our focus, and it's been happening all around us within the church community. We lose our focus on God's truths for the sake of helping people, good topics, changing society, work towards a better society, that's a good thing. And we end up with no foundation in Jesus. Are we to help folks in need? Of course. But we must never neglect the central focus of Jesus as Lord and Savior. And it's that need to keep the focus that is why we celebrate the Reformation. To remind ourselves to keep the main thing the main thing. Well, you want to know a little secret about the S&H green stamps? They really weren't free. The store owners had to buy them. Then they passed the cost on to guess whom? The customers. And it's very interesting to learn that when the stores stopped giving green stamps, they didn't lower their prices. I know you're shocked at that one, right? You see, there really is no such thing as a free lunch or free anything for that matter. Someone has to pay for it. This is going well, isn't it? Our salvation, my friends, is the exception to that rule. It's truly a free gift from God. No strings attached, no hidden costs, no stamps to lick, no rules to change, simply through faith in Jesus, which is exactly what we heard last night and what we're going to hear in just moments. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. It's a gift from God, not of works, so that no one can boast. So our challenge today, my friends, and you confirmands especially, is to keep the torch of God's truth that we've inherited from Martin and our fellow Christians over the past 500 years burning brightly. And then to boldly pass it on to our kids, our grandkids, our neighbors, friends, or entire communities to continue the Christian journey towards our heavenly home. So on this Reformation Day, on this Confirmation Day, we do say, thank you, Martin. Thank you, Grandpa and Grandma. Thank you, Mom and Dad, and uncles and aunts, and all those sitting in the pews around us this day. Thank you, Mr. Dedicated Butcher down the street. Thank you, Mr. Faithful Government Worker. Thank you, Mr. Church Leader over the centuries, for keeping God's truth about Jesus and getting right with God the main thing. May you six, and every one of us here this morning, be faithful. Be dependable as we hold the torch boldly in our care today and prepare to pass it on forward. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.